Dun, 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 dun.
Faster than today's headlines. More powerful than a Trump tweet. Able to baffle even the brightest among us. Look, up online, it's the Post, it's the Times. No, it's Comic Culture! Bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum, bum. Hey, welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. Broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station.
That's right. Thanks to us.
Totally thanks to us.
Yep.
And podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter DeRiley, your Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I'm Chris Owen, Professor of Hamilton's, at Hamilton's Mohawk College, not of Hamilton's Mohawk College.
No, you are the Professor of Hamilton's Mohawk College. Yeah, Chris and I gather here once a week to talk comics and enlighten you, the masses.
Enlighten.
You know, on everything that's happening in the world of comics.
That's right.
Almost.
Almost.
And we're going to start this week like we do every week. With Chris dabbling into the comics that are hitting your local comic book shop today, new comic book day.
All right, you know what? First up, I got to talk about this one.
Whoa, Chris.
Oh, sorry. Wait.
We got to get paid.
If we want to play, we got to get paid. Hey,
that's right. And today's new this week is brought to you by St. Remy Authentic VSOP Club Soda.
Nice.
It's the French Club Soda.
French one.
Yes, and it's good to the last drop. No, that's Colombian Club Soda. I've got
Nescafe Club Soda.
Nescafe Club Soda, right. This one
or
is
something like that.
This one is Magnifique.
Magnifique.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, first up we've got, Thor's back. Did you know that?
I didn't even know he left.
Well, it was Jane Foster for
a little while.
That's
right, yeah.
So the real Thor.
Thor was here the whole time.
He just didn't have his hammer.
That's right.
He was taking a break. And now now old Thor is battling space sharks.
Whoa.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool.
I'm looking at a page that Chris is showing me.
We've already got a call in.
You know, they're upset that Jane Foster is not Thor. So,
you know what? I don't know what to say about this artwork. It's very strange. It's kind of a weird and wonderful kind of artwork. I don't know if I like it or hate it.
I see what you're saying.
It's different. I don't know what to say.
You know what? We're encouraging everybody to run into your local comic book shop and check out Thor.
And that's number one. Yeah, number one.
Because the artwork is, the best way I can describe it, is funky.
Well, it's funky and kind of psychedelic.
Right.
It's a little bit, it's strange.
Post-psychedelic, mid-70s almost, right?
That's from artist Mike Del Mundo. And then you got another artist, Christian Ward, and then Mike Del Mundo did some more stuff later on.
Chris, help me out with something.
What's that?
Because I'm confused.
I know.
And it's a hard thing to do with me, but I get it. So it is Thor number one, but then I just noticed underneath it's Legacy 707.
Legacy, exactly.
Okay. So 707.
Yes.
So this is the flagship Thor title.
Right.
They're just, for some reason,
another reboot of some kind.
Well, it's
right?
not a reboot. It's Legacy 707.
Well, it is and it isn't. It's what is Legacy
707? So if it's Legacy 707, my point is, it's that original journey into mystery that turned into Thor.
Correct.
Thor.
Right.
So if you're doing a Legacy 707, why call it number one?
I agree. I totally agree. Just call it 707.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Glad you and I settled that. So check
perfect.
Out Thor Legacy 707 at your comic book shop today.
All right. Next up, we've got The Man of Steel number 3 of 6. Now, this is, of course, written by my favorite of all writers, Brian Michael Bendis.
Oh, Brian Michael.
You know how
Bendis.
Much I love him.
You do.
Oh, yeah. Boy, do I ever. So, that's.
Uh-huh. Enough said.
Here's what I'm gonna tell you.
This is what you're gonna tell me.
Love the artwork.
Uh-huh.
The artwork is by Ryan Suk and Jason Fabok, rather. Wade von Grauberger and Alex Sinclair. I love the art, but man, I just don't like Brian Michael Bendis's writing. I don't understand it.
Yeah, but has he changed? Has he taken that one? Is that 1-6 like the old Brian Michael Bendis that could have been told in one issue?
Well, this is the thing, right?
Yeah.
Two issues.
Has he changed his ways?
Nah. This could have been told in two issues. I mean, it's already up to issue 3, so I mean, maybe there's gonna be a whole lot more, but I doubt it.
Right.
This one's the maniac who killed Krypton.
Whoa!
So now we get to find out. You know, and again, here's my other problem.
Yeah.
Why can't... Okay, here's something that he's now retro... creating retro history here.
Right, yeah.
So
there's no maniac to
kill
Krypton.
Yeah. But now he's creating this maniac. Because you know what? He can't come up with a new idea to save his soul. All he's thinking coming
now,
up
now,
with...
Now, Chris. Now.
Come on.
Now, he's scheduled on the show in 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, we're going to have words. All I'm saying is that here's a guy that just likes to take... Oh, I wonder... You know, I wonder who could actually kill Krypton, and I'm going to come up with a story around that.
Yeah, Krypton didn't explode.
Why
does
he come up with a new idea? They come up with like a second Krypton or something like that.
Right.
Right. We all know that Krypton
died.
Or
like one of those city in a bottle things. Something creative.
Yeah, exactly.
New.
Something
right.
creative and new. Yeah. Instead of, we already know that Krypton died, so who cares? It's a prequel. It's like Han Solo, like the way nobody cares.
Hey, we're going to talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, this Bendis Sook. I wonder if Sook was ever called Sookie, Sookie, Sookie.
It's very possible.
Sookie, Sookie,
it's very possible. Not probable, though.
The Man of Steel, number 3 of 6, is at your local comic book shop today. Don't believe Chris Owen.
Don't believe the hype.
Yeah. Check it out. See if Mr. Bendis has reformed his ways.
All right. Next up, we've got, what am I going to go with? I'm going to go with this one.
Go with that
now,
one.
Now, here's another guy that I have a problem with.
Uh-oh.
But it's not.
Art Baldessar.
No, I never have a problem with Art
Baldessar.
Yeah,
you don't. That's true.
This is a less of a problem because I actually like I don't mind the artist. Sorry, I like the artist. I don't mind the writer.
Uh-huh.
Mark Miller.
Oh, Mark Miller. Yeah, I like that.
And this is that one called The Magic Order, and this is the one where they've created on Netflix, actually a giant ad there, this is going to be a TV series on Netflix about this book.
Oh, wonderful.
So this one's probably going to be sold out real quick because everybody's going to want to know all about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Miller and Oliver Koipel is the artist, and I do like Koipel's artwork.
Koipel.
It's kind of hard to say.
Koipel. It is.
Anyways, great artwork. It's all about... magic for one. You know what? I don't even know what to tell you. It's called The Magic Order.
Mm-hmm. Is it about some sort of magic order?
There's a magic order, but it's not. You'd think that a title like that would be set in the Victorian era,
right,
or something like that.
It's today.
It's today, but it delves back into olden times.
Goes back and forth.
Yeah, it's a cool looking book and a great cover by Adam Hughes to boot.
Oh, I love Adam Hughes.
Yeah.
And that is a good-looking cover right there. Chris, this is a good-looking book.
Good-looking book.
It's a good-looking book.
That is a good-looking book.
Mark Millar, Oliver Koipel.
Koipel.
The Magic Order, issue number 1, from Image Comics, is at your local comic book shop today. Soon to be a Netflix something. So check that out.
Yeah, and if you know what... That's going to be Chris's pick of the week.
Chris's pick of the week.
There you go.
So Chris saying, this is what Chris tells you.
Yeah.
Is go into your local comic book shop, preferably mine.
That's right.
And load up on Magic Order number 1.
There you go. All right. Listen, next up. Now here's a new one for you.
Mm-hmm.
In my hands, I hold, you know.
Chris, put that away.
In my other hand.
Right.
I have now a comic book by... I don't even know if it's actually by The Weeknd, but you know the artist, the music artist, The Weeknd. Good, yeah, you do. You've heard his stuff before, but this is so. It's written by Christos Gage, Lamar Taylor, and Abel Tesfaye. But this is The Weeknd Presents Starboy, and so The Weeknd is a musical artist.
Okay,
he's got
that crazy
hair.
Uh-huh.
I'd sing some songs for you, but no one wants that, really.
Mm.
But interestingly enough, so now here's another crossover of music and comic books coming together. And you know what? It's by Image. It's by Marvel, which I think is very interesting. I don't really know much about it because I don't know. It's Marvel, but it's a music artist, and so it's weird. I don't know.
It's good.
It's good, but
Chris,
it's weird.
It's a good marriage, a good mix, a good meeting of medium, right?
Meeting of medium.
Meeting of media.
I like that.
All right. It's, what's it called again? Star Boy. Volume 1, issue number 1 from Marvel. Hey, it's got a parental advisory, so don't let the kids read it.
I think if you were a speculator,
uh-huh,
and because this is a book that could possibly people that are comic fans would want,
yes,
as well as music fans would,
yes,
want.
Yes.
So maybe if you're speculating on this, you might want to buy an extra copy.
Do a little speculating, maybe?
Do a little speculating.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's got to be good.
Yeah,
and
that's
let's
true.
For that's now, true. We got to give it the benefit of the doubt. Go in and check it out.
All right. Next up, and my last book of the day here, we've got Disney's DuckTales, number 9 by IDW.
Number 9.
Number 9. You know what? I'm just happy to see that the Disney ducks are still going strong. We've got,
Hold on, Chris.
What?
Hold on.
What?
I gotta take you to task. I gotta ask you.
It's not done by Carl Barks.
I know that. Nor by Art Balthazar.
But
are they...
Don Rosa.
Are they going strong, though?
Well, why not?
I don't know.
It's still going.
I guess.
Well, there's still Disney ducks material coming out.
Yeah, there is.
So somebody's got to be buying it. Otherwise, they wouldn't bother printing it.
Well.
So I think it's great that it's even still out.
I agree with you. Now, I don't know if you'd know this or not.
You're just nitpicking at my words, is what you're saying.
No,
because
I'm not.
I said going strong.
No, not at all. Like, I'm just saying is this just Disney kind of,
pushing stuff?
Pushing stuff and taking a loss to get the ducks out?
It's a great question.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say that these are
still... Well, flipping IDW's printing. What am I saying? It's not even a Marvel Disney book.
No.
Oh, okay.
But Disney's weird that way. They have some books being published by IDW, some by Marvel.
Still may have the license over a certain period of time,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
All right.
It's weird.
Well, that's kind of cool. Well, listen, let's give Disney's DuckTales, what number? Number 9? The benefit of the doubt as well. So head into your local comic book shop, check that out, and please check out. There's tons of brand new comics, Chris.
Oh, tons!
At your local comic book shop.
Yeah.
It's a good week.
It is a good week,
and everybody should run into their local shop and check things out.
All right, listen. You know what? We're gonna have a musicless episode here today, so there'll be no music in between you and I.
In between. Can we? You know what we should do?
What should we do?
We should, during these lulls that you used to have.
Yeah.
We should play chess.
We could do that.
Yeah.
But that might not sound very good for the listening audience.
That's a good point. You always bring me down to earth, Chris.
I'm not trying to bring you down. I'm just trying to make you real again.
Don't bring me down. There you go. Musical interlude.
Right,
hey, that was the Beatles. Don't bring me down. Great segue into industry news. Industry news brought to us by the Budweiser King Can Club Soda. This thing
Club
is massive
soda.
And it's carbonated.
I like that.
And it's dangerous.
Dangerous. All right, I like that.
So check that out at your local Club Soda.
So what are we talking about here today for industry news, Walt?
Well, Chris, I got very excited. I mean, okay, I am easily excitable. But I was extra excited reading about Warner Brothers Animation's new Looney Tunes cartoons.
This is great.
Yeah.
I know the story. I actually read it myself today.
1,000 minutes of shorts.
Yes.
Ranging between 1 and 6 minutes.
Right.
So let's say it's for the average.
Yes.
That's 250.
That's awesome.
New cartoons.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My goodness.
That's awesome. So I read about that, and one of the things that interested me about this whole article was the fact that I read that they're not going on, not on script, but on, like, they're not going to be drawing them exactly the way they were drawn 70 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So there's going to be some artistic license, which... Immediately, I thought, "Well, how can they do that? These are classic characters, and they have to make them the way they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be on key, right?"
Right.
But you know what? When guys like Tex Avery took over some of the cartoons back in the day, they tweaked them.
They
a
changed
bit
it
here
yeah,
and here and there.
It,
they weren't
yeah.
exactly the way they were then when they started. Elmer Fudd. changed. Porky Pig changed.
Daffy changed.
Daffy changed. Oh. You know,
even Bugs changed.
They all changed.
They all
slightly.
Had fine tuning.
Yeah,
some of them more than slightly.
So you know,
and their behavior changed dramatically.
Totally.
Daffy. Totally. What's the rabbit's name again?
Bugs.
Bugs. He was a total spaz in the.
Oh yeah.
In the like and, late 30s.
That's right.
And then by the early 50s, he was just like. Kid cool.
Cool cat.
Right?
Yeah,
kid
exactly.
Cool,
yeah.
Right? And so that worked.
Hey, what's your favorite Warner Brothers cartoon? Do you have a particular one?
Yeah, like I don't like individual episodes tons, but I think and then, you know, it's almost like the weather, it changes.
Yeah.
But probably always go back to Sylvester Tweety.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Daffy probably second, Bugs probably third.
You know,
My God.
As a kid, I loved Bugs and Daffy.
Yeah.
As an adult, I grew to like more Foghorn Leghorn.
Ugh, right? Foghorn Leghorn.
You know, Foghorn Leghorn. Yeah. You know, when you finally, because like, as a kid, you're like, oh, who's this loudmouth guy?
Yeah.
But as an adult, you
actually. That's me!
You actually listen
that's
to what
who
he's
it is.
Saying.
Yeah.
Right?
That's who
yeah.
it is. It's
yeah.
me.
Oh, he's awesome.
The know-it-all and all
yeah.
that. Kind of
right,
stuff.
Yeah.
That's exactly
I
who
say,
I am.
I say,
boy. Yeah. Boy's about as sharp as a pound of wet liver. What was the other one he did? Boy's about as sharp as a bowling ball.
Yeah, no, I love the Warner Brothers cartoons. You know, there was probably like 1,000, maybe more of those cartoons made back in the between 1930 and 1950.
Now, you raise a good point. So, do not mimic and replicate. Boy, this is such a great experiment when you think about it. Do not mimic and replicate Chuck Jones's ones. You know, try to reproduce
Chuck
that
Jones,
magic.
Tex Avery, Bob Clamp.
Yeah,
Clamp it.
Do not reproduce that. Do not. You can't. You'll just miss so badly.
Yeah.
It'll hurt.
Yeah.
It'll hurt us
oh,
watching it.
Yeah.
So, take those beloved characters, do them right for today.
Well, you know what you got to do. Here's what you tell them.
Uh-huh.
You got to take those characters, take the essence of what those characters are all about,
right?
And take a little bit of Chuck Jones, a little bit of Bob Clampett,
yeah.
a little bit of Tex Avery,
uh-huh.
and combine them with whatever cool stuff that you have going,
yeah.
and make it your own, but make it so similar to everything else. But add a little something, something. For
my
yourself.
God, Chris, that's the. This is where you need talent.
Oh yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
This is where you need talent. You need to speak to today with these characters.
Yeah.
And these characters are beloved. But you know, I'll give you a character that can speak for today. That was created at that time.
What's that?
By the way, did you know Looney Tunes was created in 1930?
Yeah, I knew it was around there. I didn't know exactly when.
1930, and I don't know which characters came first or which ones were later, but Looney Tunes, 1930. I don't know which of the stable came in 31, 32, 35,
yeah, yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know when Bugs was and when Daffy
wasn't
was.
Wasn't the first one like Bosco the Tonk Kid?
Yeah, 1930 was Looney
stuff.
Tunes.
Yeah.
Right? So, It's that they have this opportunity to create something that is special for today. The character obviously I'm thinking about is Batman.
Right.
Right. Batman doesn't read like a 1930s crime fighter.
No.
Batman read like a modern crime fighter. Like,
yep.
you know, like a
yep.
modern whatever a hero, a
yeah,
modern
yeah, yeah.
anti-hero, whatever
yeah.
the heck you want to call him. Right. So you can take a great character. And write them for the times.
Totally.
And that's the trick, and that's what these guys are up against. It's a monumental Herculean task. I don't envy these guys with the pedigree that they have holding in their hands
yeah.
to try to come up with these beautiful things.
If you have any talent whatsoever
uh-huh.
in doing that stuff,
yeah.
you should be terrified
mm-hmm.
under the daunting task of trying to create these new cartoons.
Well, and I'll tell you one that worked, and it was written of that time, at that time. When Ice Age came out, the Pixar thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That darn squirrel.
Yeah, he was great.
A squirrel
yeah,
at the yeah, beginning.
Yeah.
Those short. It was kind of like the shorts that mm-hmm. were pre-movie shorts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They absolutely nailed it.
Totally.
Right?
Totally nailed it. Yeah.
They paid homage to the old ones,
yeah.
but they made it new. Right?
Yeah.
And I'm just hoping that these guys can be just as on mark.
You know what the problem is? You know, so when those cartoons and those Warner Brothers cartoons came out in the 1930s to the late late 50s.
Late 50s, yeah.
They had a chance to create something because there were these a whole bunch of cool artists were left alone, but they knew their boundaries. They couldn't just go ahead and have like all kinds of, you know, crazy sex and violence and all that kind of stuff. There was, but it was toned down to a point. Sure, you had, you know, Bugs Bunny and drag, and you had some violence where you'd have, like, you know, obviously people shot and all that kind of stuff. But it wasn't like gory, and it wasn't overtly sexual.
And Daffy gets shot in the face; his beak goes around his head to the other side.
That kind of stuff, right? Whereas now, because the times have changed, these times they are changing.
Who said it was a musicalist show?
You know, and so now I can see how creators could run the risk of wanting to push that boundary a little too far, but then it doesn't retain its essential nuances.
Yeah, magic. I would say magic.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So it's a delicate tightrope.
Well, I'm excited, and I don't hope. I know they're going to nail this, and this is going to be fantastic.
I agree. All right,
Chris. Let's move on. Let's talk about something you and I both were watching last night, and we were watching the result of that. Action Comics #1.
I couldn't believe it.
But that might have underperformed a bit. So we're talking about on Comic Connect two nights ago, Monday night it closed.
Yes.
Comic Connect, CGC is a grading company. They're the premier grading company of comics.
Yeah.
CGC graded 8.5 with White Pages. Sold for $2,007,000.
Yes.
So $2,007,000. Yes. So just cracked $2 million.
So now, one thing I don't know, Walt. Now, and I should know this, but I couldn't find it. Was that the finest known copy?
That's the third finest known copy. Yes.
Okay.
There are two. So that's the third finest known CGC graded copy.
Right.
There are two 9.0s.
Oh, okay, right.
One of them being a White Page, one of them being Off-White or whatever it was. And what the Off-White, the one that's not the White Page 9.0, Chris, was the Nicolas Cage copy.
Ah, okay, right.
That got $2.16 million.
Right.
And the White Page 9.0 was the one that a couple of years ago sold for $3.2 million.
Right.
Now,
right.
I heard a super duper interesting story about that, the 9.0 White Pages. The guy that had that, he was out in the West Coast somewhere. He had that. So he was like basically knew he had the best known copy.
Right.
Like the best graded copy. Because the other one had poorer page quality.
Right. Off White Pages.
I don't know exactly what they were, but they weren't white.
Okay.
Yeah, it could have been cream Off-White, could have been Off-White. I don't have it top of my head. So he basically was indecisive on where to sell this book.
Okay.
From what I understand. And from what I understand, he was actually like, so Chris, you and me, okay, we got this book and we're carrying it around.
Yeah.
And let's say we go to New York City with the intent of trying to find somebody that's going to sell it to us. And we let it be known.
Yeah.
Well, doesn't Comic Link fly in a team to wine and dine you?
Oh, really?
Take you out to restaurants. Heritage Auctions.
Yeah.
Wined and dined this guy.
Oh, my goodness.
eBay,
really?
Sent a marketing team to wine and dine him.
Right.
And it's like, you know, like here you are. You have like the greatest comic book
ever.
You're walking around with it. Or I don't know if he was walking around with it or
he's
not.
He's got a satchel next to
him. Yeah, he got it in his possession somewhere. Yeah. And you were kind of, what do you call it? Judging suitors the story obviously was that he eventually went to eBay.
Okay, right.
And he liked what eBay offered him or something like that. Maybe the food was best at the eBay restaurant they took him out to or whatever. And then he ended up getting through eBay, the final hammer price was $3.2 million.
Wow, that's crazy.
So, US. Yeah. So like 4 million Canadian whatever. But it's amazing how the power of that book. So this 8.5 comes up for sale.
Yep.
And it's like the third best known copy.
Sure.
I thought it would go a little north of 2 million.
I thought it would too. You know what?
I think this price is actually a little disappointing.
You know what? I agree. I totally agree because I know that it's not the finest known, but it's the third finest known.
Hello.
Which isn't that far off.
Yeah.
So it should be up in the 2.4, 2.3.
Yeah, I thought it might have been closer to the 3 because the other two are off the market. I think this owned by some gentleman, I think from the Mideast, I think.
Yeah.
It was called the Impossible Collection or something like that. It was online, I think. I saw it once. And this guy, I don't know where he's from. I thought it was Mideast, but it could be Europe or whatever. He owns the two 9.0s. He owns both the 9.0s, I think. I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. I'll be corrected if I'm wrong.
That's crazy.
So now this becomes like, you know, the highest available copy.
Yeah.
And it goes for what I think is a low price of 2 mil. You know,
that's crazy. I gotta ask you. Not as much as I used to be, but you know, I used to be a digger going to garage sales. You've done it, sure. Do you think there are any copies of Action Comics out there? Number one, anywhere that have not surfaced yet?
I do.
Do you think there's one more out there somewhere?
I do. And from talking to guys about this too, like. I think there's several. I think there's maybe a dozen still out there. Easy. Maybe more.
Really?
Yep, I do.
Really?
I do.
Where are they?
People's attics. You got to remember, 1938, the kid might have been born 1930.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Picked up this book. Okay? 1930, Chris, that's, you're talking about not even 90 years old yet.
There are
so many octogenarians out there. There's like hundreds of thousands of octogenarians out there. And just for some reason in old Philadelphia and old New York and old whatever, in attics and homes, and maybe that the kids took over, that the boxers from the parents are still upstairs. They're there.
Do you think there's any in Canada?
I'd like to think so.
Like, do you think there's any out in, Flamborough? Ontario.
Yeah, if they're going to be, I think they're going to be in the old populated centers that were big, big towns in the late 1930s.
Like, not like
Montreal
houses.
Was a big city. Toronto was a big city. Hamilton was a big city.
Yeah.
But, let's say Mississauga, Ontario might have had 200 people in it.
You bring up a good point here. So, I remember, and I don't want to get too off topic here, but, Procter & Gamble was a big company in Hamilton for a long time.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
Procter & Gamble produced one of the first comic books ever created.
Yep.
So why aren't there more of the famous funnies?
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
In Hamilton.
Yeah, right? I don't know. Yeah.
Do you think there's a box of them still somewhere?
I bet you there is.
Chris,
I got to tell you on a side story. So one of the most coveted Canadian comics around is a comic called, believe it or not, it's kind of a little off topic, offside, obviously, but it was done. It was done, so we can talk about it because it was done, historically done. I think it was the Northwest Territory government, through the Canadian government, produced a comic in the early 70s called Captain Alcohol.
Captain Alcohol.
To be distributed to the Inuit in the Northwest Territories as an anti-drinking thing.
Oh, really?
Because, unfortunately, the old drunken native stigma.
Yeah, yeah.
And, for whatever reason, there was an outreach of the Canadian government to fight alcoholism on reserves and stuff in the North.
Interesting.
And it's like it's a fact, right?
Yeah.
And so there are... It's really poorly drawn. It's like 1973.
Right.
I think there was four issues, one in 73, one in 75. I'm making stuff up now.
Yeah.
77, 79 maybe.
Sure.
Maybe every 2 years. And there's four of them available.
Do you have any?
I have one copy.
Really?
One. And I put the word out to all my guys out West, and I know quite a few people out West. I said, guys, hunt down. I phoned the Northwest Territories government offices.
Really?
Thinking like an idiot that let me check the back stock room.
Oh, yeah. I got an old box here full of them.
Hey, guy, can you go to the back stock room? where you keep your paper for your printing machines?
Yeah,
and can you check around to see if there's any old boxes of unopened comics that were distributed. I love it. And so, I don't know. My point is, though, yeah, it was something cool. But anyway, but you know, Action One, I know there's a few around. For example, those two 9-0s, from what I understand, I think it's called the Bethlehem, Northlands or Bethlehem. Okay. One of the pedigrees.
Yeah.
Guys in the know say that the Bethlehem or Northlands or I forget. It's better than the 9-0.
Really?
And they also say that the Mile High, which is owned by some dentist in the Carolinas or something is worse than a 9-0. Somebody's seen it.
Oh, okay.
And they go, it's like an 8-0.
Really?
You know, like, yeah, it's a Mile High coffee, but it's like an 8-0. Yeah, but hey, you know what? I know we talked about the Warner Brothers cartoons, and we were talking about Superman in Action One, and I wanted to do a little bit of trivia for you.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
And I had like a few top 10, not even top 10, but Chris Owen, the professor of everything pop culture.
Yeah.
Name 10.
All right, I can do this.
This is name 10. So right now, name 10 Superman villains. Chris, oh, 10.
That's easy.
Hold on. I got to get my thumb and fingers out. Right? My thumb and fingers are out now.
Lex Luthor.
1.
Brainiac.
2.
You're
not supposed to be stuck at number 2.
Metallo.
Metallo, 3. Isn't Metallo on? Okay, go ahead.
Parasite.
4.
Did I say Brainiac?
Did I say Lex Luthor?
Have I said Lex Luthor yet? Doomsday.
5.
I think her name's Maxima. She's a girl.
Is she now?
Yeah, yeah. Maxima.
6. I'll give that one to you. I don't know what you're talking about. Who's the general?
Zod.
Zod. 7. Good one, Chris. Who's the big, is there like a monkey? No. Oh, that Batman? Who's he against?
You're talking about...
I got one.
Okay.
Mitzlaplicnik.
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 Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
That's 8. That's 8.
Oh,
Chris.
Bizarro.
9.
This is tough.
I know. Hey, I got one.
Okay.
This might not go well over the...
Jimmy Olsen.
No, I was going to say, what's her name?
Lois Lane.
Lois Lane. You know those girls.
I know. It's true.
All right. See?
Okay. Well,
see how hard that was?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, you thought it was easy. Oh, all cocky Owen. Go, yeah, I could name 72.
Okay,
next.
Yeah.
Name me 10.
Yes.
Looney Tunes characters.
Oh, Daffy, Bugs.
Hold on. Slow down, champ. Oh, okay, slow down. Daffy. I need full names.
Daffy.
Serial numbers.
Daffy rank. Duck. Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, that's 2.
Foghorn Leghorn.
3.
Yosemite Sam.
4.
Elmer Fudd.
5.
Speedy Gonzalez.
6.
Tweety.
7.
Sylvester.
8.
Hold on. Porky Pig.
9.
Hold on. Wait. Roadrunner.
10.
Coyote.
11. Oh, stop.
Michigan J. Frog.
Slowpoke Rodriguez. All right, you're good there.
Babs
I got
Bunny.
You covered. I got you. You got me covered.
Yeah.
All right.
Did I say Elmer Fudd?
Yeah, you did, okay. But whatever. Okay.
It's way easier.
Blew the Superman.
10, Looney Tunes characters.
Okay.
Than
you blew the Superman. Let's see you try Spider-Man.
Don't ever say that again.
Hello. The Man of Steel. Not anymore. Wait a minute. That was wrong.
What?
That came off wrong.
Okay.
Oh my god.
What? Okay, hold on.
We gotta recover. Is there music? Can you play music?
Okay, what were you going to say?
I don't know.
Spider-Man?
Hey, 10 Spidey villains.
Okay, that's an easy one.
Oh, that's what you said about Superman.
Okay, but I thought, okay.
And you blew that one.
Okay, here. Spider-Man.
No, Spider-Man's not
okay,
a villain.
Okay, Mysterio.
Venom. Kraven
the Hunter.
Kraven the Hunter.
Vulture.
Vulture.
Doc Ock.
Doc Ock.
Green Goblin.
Green Goblin.
Hobgoblin.
Hobgoblin.
Scorpion.
Eight.
Hydro Man.
Nine.
Sandman.
Ten.
See, I want me to keep going.
Kingpin.
Kingpin.
11.
Rhino.
All right, all right, all right. You got that. You got me. Ooh, you got
okay,
me.
Okay, okay.
All right.
Here, okay, here. I'm, no, you know what? I'm going to turn tables on
you.
Oh,
turntable.
I'm going to turn tables. I want you to name me 10 Batman villains.
Oh, you dog.
I didn't say Flash. I didn't say, you know, Wonder Woman.
All right.
Batman.
All right, Batman.
Batman.
Okay. You got the Joker.
Joker.
The Penguin.
Penguin.
The Riddler.
Riddler.
Two-Face.
Two-Face.
Clayface.
Oh, good one. Clayface.
Don't tell me. That's 5, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ra's al Ghul.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
6. Poison Ivy.
Yeah.
7.
Another femme fatale.
Catwoman.
Yeah.
8. The Mask.
The Mask. Yeah.
9. And Hush.
Hush. Ooh, hey. Good one.
Whew. Pull that one out of my hat.
Nicely done. Nicely done.
Oh, I got one. I think we're taking it. We'll do one more.
One more.
One more. We're having fun with this. Who cares about the listening audience?
Yeah,
we're having fun with it.
As long as you and I are having fun.
As long as you and I are having fun with it.
Cheers.
Here, cheers. There's some club soda going on.
All right. What's next?
All right. One more. Name 10 non-Marvel non-DC superheroes.
Ooh.
Now, they could later become Marvel and DC. You know how they took over companies and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. Well,
10 non-Marvel, non-DC...
Did not start out as Marvel or DC.
DC superheroes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Blue Beetle.
Blue Beetle.
The Question.
The Question. It's getting
hard. Phantom Lady.
Phantom Lady.
Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam was national, so that kind of...
It doesn't matter.
Okay, Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Human Bomb.
Human Bomb's a hero?
Kinda, yeah. Peacemaker.
Oh, yeah, I remember Peacemaker.
Shadow.
Shadow.
Phantom.
Phantom.
Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger doesn't count. It's not a comic property. Can't even count Phantom and Shadow because
they're
pulps.
Pulps?
Yeah.
Oh, fine. All right. How about Conan?
No, pulp.
You're this yeah, is, yeah. You're tough.
We're at 5. Breaker. We're at 5.
Okay, hold on.
Shazam.
Shazam.
6.
Sheena.
I guess so.
Kinda.
Sheena. Yeah.
No.
I guess so. Maybe. This
Spirit?
Is.
Spirit.
No, I think it was like newspapers or something before.
Okay.
Yeah. This is not an easy
That's
thing.
Tough.
Yeah.
That is tough.
This is not an easy thing.
Non-Marvel, non-DC heroes. That's
yeah,
tough.
Non-Marvel, non-DC heroes.
You know
heroes.
What? I'm going to say to our listening audience, if you can come up with your own list of non-Marvel, non-DC heroes, you need to write us in and let us know.
Yeah, because we obviously blew that one.
Okay, right. So I'm going to... Okay, I know... I'm going to put you on the spot here.
All right.
I'm going to put you on the spot.
And we tease him a lot because we got him on the spot.
Welcome back.
All right.
And the only reason I'm going to bring this one up is because this particular character is well known for his villains, unlike some other characters.
You said you weren't going to use him.
I'm going to use him. Flash.
I know. You said you weren't. I know. Oh, I'm not doing Flash.
Okay.
Huh?
I'm going to do Flash. Five. Give me 5. Give me 5.
5.
5.
Yo, give me 5.
Give me 5.
Okay. Flash.
Flash. Savior of the universe. Okay, yeah. When you go to the bathroom in the morning and you look at yourself in the
I never look down.
Mirror.
Oh, mirror. Mirror man.
Mirror master.
Mirror master.
Right.
And Gorilla Grodd.
Yes, that's 2.
Hold on. Mirror master, Gorilla Grodd, the trickster.
Yeah, that's good.
Mr. Freeze.
No, that's
Captain
that's,
Cold.
There you go, Captain Cold, yeah.
Who's his cousin? Who's Mr. Freeze's cousin? Oh, Boomerang.
There you go. Perfect. Yeah. There you go.
Chris, yeah. Remember the party game?
Charades?
Charades?
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Charades? Yeah. That's what Chris was doing. He was doing a boomerang throwing.
I don't know what you're... I didn't help you out at all.
Right on. Right on.
Okay, so...
Maybe one more. One more.
Oh, one more character or one more...
One more villain for the Flash.
Oh, one more villain for Flash. Reverse Flash.
Reverse Flash.
One of his biggest villains.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Wow, this top 10 thing. Wait, okay, but you know what? Derailed ourselves.
So
here, Chris.
Okay, so what's very interesting here, and I think this is, and I'm not, I don't want to go too long about this, but one of the interesting parts about this is, and I've said it so many times in the past, what makes a good comic book is when you have a great villain.
Oh yeah, so it's all about the villain.
Because Flash is just a guy that can run fast.
Hey, right? I did an undervalued spotlight on.
I saw that on Batman
234, and that was the first Two-Face of the Silver Age.
Right.
And you know what? When you collect Batman in the Silver Age, I mean, Poison Ivy, Ra's al Ghul are that as like kind of mid-60s, late-60s, early-70s, the two big creations of villains, right?
Yeah.
But the early-60s to the early-70s was dominated by the resurrection of the old villains.
Right.
Like the first Penguin since the Gold, like the Silver Age Riddler. Version of the Penguin, Silver Age Riddler, Silver Age Scarecrow. And my pick was the Silver Age Two-Face.
Right.
Because when you look at all four of those books, the Two-Face was performing the least on the marketplace.
Well, I've read that. Yeah. It was like a third of what the other ones were. Yeah.
And the funny thing is, another really, really popular collecting strain for Batman is the Adams run.
Right.
All the Adams issues get so much money that number 251, the Joker cover, the 227, the swipe of the Detective 31 cover, they're worth double of what this is.
Yes.
And 234 is an Adams.
Yeah.
So 234 is the only book of all those books that A, belongs in the Adams run, so you need it to fill your Adams Batman.
Yep.
And B, it's part of the hero resurrection.
I thought
run.
It was a great pick, honestly.
And you know so you need it for that one too. Yeah. So it's touching on so many collecting strains.
It was a great pick.
And it's undervalued. Yeah. But it just goes to show you again the power of villains, right?
Well, and people collect what I was gonna villains. Say is so you and I for years talked about how Wonder Woman is sort of like you got Superman way at the top and Batman's right behind him, maybe even surpassing him.
Ahead of him.
And then, you know, but really, as far as character goes, the Trinity goes, Wonder Woman is the next.
Right.
But way down on the list.
I know.
Yeah. Right? And I think part of it is she doesn't have that group of characters to fall on.
Right.
That villains, those arch enemies that, you know, that those other two characters have. Even Superman doesn't really have them as much as Batman, but Superman's the first. So
he gets
a bit of a pass.
That's
right.
Yes, you're right.
But Wonder Woman, she's got, you know, Cheetah, Giganta, then it kind of, the same as Ares.
Yeah.
There's a few others, but,
pretty lame. Yeah. And like you said, you're as good as your villains.
Robot Wonder Woman.
Right. You know. That's why the most collected titles in comics are Batman and Spider-Man.
Yep.
And it's no coincidence that the deepest stable of villains
are those two.
Belong to Batman and Spider-Man. Yeah. So you do the math and you figure out why.
Totally.
Right.
Totally
when you go like Spider-Man the first 10 years. 1963 to 1973, 74, let's say, whatever, 11 years, up to the Punisher.
Yep.
My goodness, Chris, you got, out of 129 issues, you maybe have 30 issues that introduce great villains.
Easily, maybe more.
Oh, my goodness, right? It's like, whoa.
Yeah.
I got to have this one. I got to have that one. I got to have that one. And then, honestly, after a while, you go, well, I might as well collect the run.
Well, yeah, because between 1 and 130, there's all those characters. You're like, well, if I got all these, might as well get the rest of them.
Might as well get the rest of them. Might as well get the other Mysterio issues.
Right.
I have the 13. Yeah. I might as well get the 66 and the 67.
Hey, speaking of Mysterio, we didn't get a chance to have a show last week because we had some technical issues. But it was recently announced that the next Spider-Man movie is going to have Mysterio as one of their main villains.
That's right.
So, have you seen a jump in prices?
I didn't look. A Spidey 13
is
the Mysterio, and that was an expensive book all the time.
It was already, yeah.
But I have a feeling it's even more expensive now.
Oh, totally,
for sure.
Yeah. Interesting,
for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the good thing about those, like, the key... Spidey 2 introduces the Vulture.
Yep.
Spidey 3 introduces Doc Ock.
Yep.
Spidey 4 introduces the Sandman. Spidey 6... introduces Lizard.
Right.
Spidey 9, Electro, right? Then you got 13 with Mysterio. And 14 with Green Goblin. And 15 with Kraven, who we forgot. You know, 20 has Scorpion. It's like, just, my goodness, it's just it's endless.
Unending.
Yeah.
Well, you just named 10 out of the first 20.
And then you still have to come the Shocker and the Punisher and what do you call
Kingpin.
Rhino. Oh, yeah. It's endless.
Morbius.
Right? Yeah. Morbius. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's an embarrassment of riches.
It really is.
But in all, I once did a talk in front of students about comics because some teacher that's a customer at our shop asked me to, and so he just goes, you know, we'll come in and I talk to the kids, and they love comics obviously, and we're talking about, and the whole thing is, you know, and I explained to them, Chris, how you know, comics are created for the time,
right?
You know, whatever. If it's crime, then you do a crime fighter. If it's nuclear war, then you do whatever. You know, if it's radiation, Spider-Man bitten by a radioactive spider, all that kind of stuff. So you know, I go to the kids. I go, you know, what are the woes of the world now?
Yeah.
Right. And
you know,
and then what kind of hero do we need to save the woes of the world?
Yeah.
And it got them to thinking, and obviously, you know, like, you know, classic thing would be, you know, Enviro Man or something to save the environment. And that got them to thinking, and they were kind of excited a little bit about the whole thing. They were just like, who the heck is this guy? When's class over, right? You know? But man, when I got near the end, Chris, and I go to them and I said this, okay, now we got our hero.
Yeah.
Go, here comes the fun part.
Who's the villain?
Create his villain.
Yeah.
Whoa, the whole class erupted. The whole class erupted trying to come up with, oh, a villain. That's more fun.
Totally.
It was more fun to create the villain to the hero than it was for them to create the hero.
Well, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Luke Skywalker.
Uh-huh.
But man, I love Darth Vader more.
Right.
Right? Like,
right.
It's,
it's
a great villain.
And Boba Fett.
Yeah, absolutely.
Who doesn't like Boba Fett?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
All right. Anyway, Chris, I think we let's stretch this one a little too long.
nah.
Let's do.
Speaking of talking about Spider-Man or Star Wars.
Yeah. Hold on. We got to do. We got to do a pregnant pause.
Oh, do we? Okay.
All right. That was excellent.
This pause has been brought to you by
Remy Martin Authentic Club Soda.
Nice.
The club soda of France. The Gaulish club soda.
Gaulish.
Let's talk about, we got to talk about Solo.
Okay, so Solo. So I saw Solo.
Ah, Solo.
It's a great movie. I don't understand why it's getting the bad press it is. Now, having said that, I do understand.
Way too cryptic for me. First you say you don't understand.
I know.
And then you tell me you understand.
Well.
All right. Fill me in, Chris.
Here's the thing. Oh, boy. Solo is a great movie. On its own, Solo is a great movie. I think there's two big problems. One, Star Wars overload.
Mm-hmm.
We are used to getting... Okay, back in the day...
Back in the day, we got one every 3 years.
One every 3 years.
Uh-huh.
Then it became one every year.
Yeah.
Then we just had one at Christmas time, and then we have another one in
Three months later. Yeah, but isn't demand for Star Wars supposed to be insatiable?
No.
Ah.
Here's the problem.
Problem part deux.
Is the backlash of The Last Jedi...
Ah.
Is now seeping into...
Why didn't they like The Last Jedi?
Because the director killed off...
Spoiler alert.
The director killed off Luke Skywalker. I've heard a lot of rumblings about how people are upset that it's now become a female-run movie franchise with Rey.
Yeah. Well, okay. Okay.
So it's no longer about Luke anymore.
Right. I gotta add my 2 cents in. So you build this mega $1 trillion franchise off the backs of basically in no particular order of importance.
Yep.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yoda.
Yeah.
Vader.
Yeah.
Leia.
Yeah.
Skywalker. Solo, fat.
Yeah.
Chewy.
Yep.
You know, like whatever.
Yeah.
One girl in there.
Yeah.
But the caveat there was in the beginning. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how this is going to sound, Chris, but I'm going to go there.
Go for it.
Yeah. In the beginning, she was the princess that needed to be rescued.
Totally.
Traditional. It was a very traditional you know, storytelling vehicles. You know, damsel in distress, the boys come and rescue her, right?
But.
But.
She was more than a princess.
That's right. She was a warrior. She was always a general. Yes. She was the force. We learned that later.
Those foundations were laid early on.
That's right.
Right.
But so you fast forward and you take this male dominated thing, and then you put you know, like the girl as the main thing. My kids who are late teenagers who went through the Ontario education curriculum about, I don't even know what the Ontario education curriculum is now, but trust me, it's about gender, it's about tolerance, it's about everything that it should be.
Yeah.
Right? But you can't outbreed, you know, romanticism of gender.
And like,
so what he was complaining about, the older one, was, Dad, I go, how'd you like Star Wars? I go, what do you mean? He goes, Dad, Skywalker got a trillion years of training. He was with Yoda. He was with this. He was with that. Some girl, he says, she comes. She's never even had a second of training, and she kicks his ass.
Right.
I didn't like it.
Right.
I go, that's chauvinistic. I go, no. He goes, no, it's not. I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
And I go, who am I to argue that he didn't like
it?
Yeah,
that's right.
I don't know if he's a good person or bad because he thinks like that, but as a fan of the movie,
and
he goes,
it.
I need plausibility. He goes, he's like, he's the master. You can't have some kid. I don't even think it has to do with her being a girl.
No, it's
just a kid comes in and just kicks his butt.
It's the storyline. Yeah, right. I get it. Yeah.
Kicks his butt. So, you know, in this move to move, you know, everything forward, it maybe alienated a lot of the old fans is what I think might have happened.
I think it did. And I think a lot of people were still sour on that.
Yeah.
But you know what? Above and beyond all that, even people that were Star Wars fans, you know, I've talked to them and I've said, you know, how what'd you think of Solo? And some of them have said, I haven't even seen it yet because they're still... They're still reeling in the old Last Jedi, right? They're still thinking about it. They're still figuring
it out. I love The Last Jedi.
And so I think those are two reasons. And I think the third reason was timing. You had Infinity War come out.
Yeah.
And then you had Deadpool come out.
Yeah.
And that or Solo rather, and then Deadpool, like, or whatever it was. But you had like a couple of big Marvel comic book movies come out at the same time. And, you know, not everybody has the kind of funds to go
to the movies,
right?
It's not cheap to go to the movies. It's not cheap to go to the movies.
$15 if you're lucky.
Well, you got to buy some popcorn.
That's what I'm saying.
Some,
it's like $15 just to get in.
$25 to $30 after you
splurge. Popcorn and all that stuff.
You go on a date. Good luck.
Oh, yeah. It's $80.
Man, it's like that's a motel room.
What motel are you going to?
I don't want to talk about
it. So anyways, I get it. I think that I think there's a combination of reasons why the movie's not doing as well. I read a post the other day that Ron Howard has actually come out and said, you guys got to stop the bashing. Because there's been a lot of bashing about The Last Jedi and... you know, the fact that all this has been going on.
But maybe it's a transition, Chris. Maybe it's that's the problem with it. When you're writing something for the new, you're going to alienate the old.
Totally.
So when you're updating a franchise, and which I think is what's going on with Star Wars now, because like you and I said, the one told in 77 was the one told, it could have been told in 1939.
Totally.
It's the same old classic story.
Yeah.
Right? Now they're updating it to societal norms of today.
Yeah.
And yet there's that old fan base backlash. You can't escape that if you want to update it.
That's
I say ride it through, update it. It needs updating.
Yeah.
And so who cares if some old fuddy duddy doesn't like it?
Well,
or if a million old, you know what? Who cares? The banks, I guess.
Say,
care.
You know who cares? Disney.
Yeah,
who
I guess.
Cares,
I guess
right?
You're right. I guess. So. But they got to. If they want to continue, the problem is that name, that Star Wars name, that Star Wars franchise is worth billions. Oh, yeah. Tens, hundreds of billions. Well, so maybe and here's not the thing, hundreds of billions.
Going to be, here's the thing. Disney is going to start their streaming service, much like Netflix, and already they're planning. They've got Jon Favreau, who's going to be directing or in charge of the new Disney, the new Star Wars series that's going to be live action. So they're banking on the fact that Star Wars is a money-making platform.
Yeah, you're right. Right. Yeah.
So to have Solo do poorly, maybe they're making their...
Is it poorly, though? I guess is my point.
Well, I guess it is. It's like 200 million. Like, or I think it's 200 million.
176 million
domestically, and then 300 internationally. Yeah. So, you know, 500 million, which, you know, Infinity War is just under, just cracked
two billion. 2 billion. Yeah, 2 billion. So yeah, right.
You know, how do you compare the two, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Star Wars should have been.
That's the problem in today's day and age of the movies. It's like if you don't make a bill, you're like,
what's the point?
What's the point? Yeah. And that's wrong because, I don't know.
Well, you know what's funny is that I read an article saying that 20th Century Fox executives has now been saying that they're saying, okay, enough with the superhero movies already. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? The superhero movies just made Fox $1 billion through Deadpool. So you should be thankful that they're getting all that money.
Yeah, but they said that 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, whenever it was. Oh, it's peaked 3 years ago, whatever. Yeah. And then it's like, you know, this year, it's...
Well, we had Black Panther and Infinity War.
They're both $2 billion movies.
Yeah, huge movies.
Like $4 billion box office with just two films.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
And then... Right?
And then they're saying it's like a done thing?
Yeah, it's not a done thing yet.
Right.
Now, in 3 weeks' time, I think, we're going to have the next Marvel movie with... Ant-Man and the Wasp.
But I don't think the expectations are there for it to be a $1 billion movie.
Can't be.
Yeah, if it has a $80 million opening weekend, they're going to be happy and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So I think we lose sight of the fact that that it's content, right? And keep the budget down and keep the expectations normal and keep it entertaining. And then you can make – it's one of those volume things. You can make 8 good movies a year. I don't know. I'm just making up numbers here, but skim off 50, 80 million profit or 100 million profit off of each one, and then you're doing really well. You don't need that one that's going to give you a $1 billion profit because it's so hard to make those, right? It's just they have to hit the nerve just at the right time, at the right place.
I think Infinity War is only the fourth movie to ever crack $2 billion.
Right. Yeah. What's Avatar?
Avatar, Star Wars,
and what's that? Is it Titanic?
Titanic, maybe.
Titanic. Oh, wonderful.
I don't know. Anyways, very rarely happens, but I don't know how this happens. Well, we're running out of time already.
No, we're not.
We are. We only have like 30 seconds left.
Oh my gosh! All right. Well, let's. I had so much more.
What else did you want to talk about?
Nah, that's it. You know what? We should mention.
You know what, we didn't even talk about the Niagara show that we went to 2 weeks ago.
Nor do we talk about next week. We hope to have on
Greg Hyland.
Greg Hyland, who's producing or drawing
Monster Atlas,
which is fantastic. My God, he's awesome. Explaining to us what he's doing, and it's just like great, great idea. He's got a big Kickstarter. We'll have him on next week.
Next week, and you know, if you want to peruse it and preview it, go to Kickstarter, type in Monster Atlas, and
Monster Atlas, like Atlas, like you know, like where you were like the maps. World Atlas. Yeah, the maps, World Atlas. Yeah. So it's called Monster Atlas. Greg Hyland, Hyland.
Yeah.
Check that out. Pretty cool stuff. We're going to have him on next week to talk about Monster Atlas. And I guess that's it for this week.
Sadly, yes.
So, Comic Culture engineered, produced by Chris Owen. Now, we're at 93.3 CFMU, McMaster's award-winning radio station and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. And we encourage everybody to go out and support your local comic book shop.
And have yourself a wonderful day.